Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
All right, well, we're going to jump in the Word here. I believe God has confirmed it, and my heart's desire this morning is that this Word will go from the page to our hearts. Amen. That it would be, it would move from Logos word, the written word of God, to a Rhema word that releases faith in our lives and brings about change and transformation, brings hope, faith, healing, and ministers to us right where we are. Will you believe God for that with me? Amen. This morning, Father, we just lift up this time in the service, and we are so grateful for your word. God, it continues to revolutionize and change lives. It's alive. It's life-giving. God, it quickens us. It's food for faith. God, it goes deep. Lord, when we're open and receptive to your word, God, you said that your word is like a two-edged sword. God, that divides asunder between the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow and the thoughts and the intents of our heart. God, your word goes where other things can't go. And so we give you permission to go there this morning and do what you desire to do in each one of our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to put on my other set of eyes, and that will make my morning go a lot easier. And I think you will appreciate it as well as we read together. I want to talk to you this morning about dealing with worry and anxiety. Now, I know most of you probably never have to deal with that, but that happens to me once in a while. And God has shown me over the years some things that we can do to help us. It doesn't mean it won't try to kindle on us. It doesn't mean we'll never face it. But what do we do when it rears its head in our life? Amen. I think if we were honest this morning, we would all have to say, probably at least daily, we are faced with certain anxieties, certain fears, or certain worries that try to crowd in on our heart and try to influence our life. Amen? And how we handle that will directly determine the quality of life we live. If we're ridden with worry and anxiety, it can cause emotional or mental problems and even physical manifestations, panic attacks. You hear that word a lot now in our culture. I had a panic attack, or I'm having a panic attack. I've heard that so many times, and that's usually rooted in anxiety. It's rooted in worry or some sort of fear. And so what does the Word of God say about it? How do we deal with it when it tries to kindle on us? There's nothing that will rob our faith any more than worry or anxiety. Amen? And in fact, it only can be battled by the Word of God through faith. And so we're going to look at that this morning. Before we do, I want to just define it, and then maybe you'll have a better picture of whether this, you know, whether you need this message or not. Maybe you're all set. Maybe you should preach this message if you got victory over that in your life. Amen? In the Greek, it means to be anxious about, to be or have care, to take thought. It has the idea of distraction. In fact, some translations translate it as worry. Anxiety can be translated as worry. Sometimes they're interchangeable, actually, in the Greek. They're both forms of a similar word. Now, anxious, in the Webster's Dictionary, is to be afraid or nervous, especially about what may happen. It can be a feeling of anxiety causing or showing fear or nervousness, wanting or eager to do or have something very much, especially because of fear or nervousness. It also is characterized by extreme uneasiness of mind, brooding, fear about some contingency or something that's happening in your life. That's as an adjective. As a noun, it's fear or nervousness about what might happen, a feeling or wanting to do something very much, painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind. Notice it deals with the mind. Uneasiness of mind, usually over an impending or anticipated problem or ill. Fearful, concern, a cause of anxiety, an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by psychological and physiological signs as sweating, tension, increased pulse, by doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. So not only does anxiety and worry try to get on the inside of us, especially influence our mind, but it can manifest in many different ways if it takes root there. And in fact, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, we're going to just take a look at that real quick, tells us another aspect of anxiety. It says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Makes the heart glad is what he's saying. Now, this is a key. You see, if we meditate upon our problems, if we meditate upon our fears, or we start thinking and giving in and meditating on the things that are making us anxious, it's a downward spiral that can lead to a lot of the manifestations that I read about, including depression. Now, he said, but the word, a good word, makes a heart glad. So here's a key on reversing that downward spiral. Amen. Getting a hold of the truth in that situation. Getting a hold of the word of God in that situation. The heart of God in that situation. The nature of God in that situation. Amen. It reverses the direction. It doesn't mean that we won't be faced with worry. We'll never be worry-free and anxiety-free in the sense of not having to deal with it, but we can turn the battle at the gate and get victory right off. It doesn't have to rule us. Amen? Jesus got tempted. We're going to get tempted. We're going to face things. Amen? That's not the issue. In this life, we will have tribulation, he says. These things are going to happen, but what do we do with it when it comes? Do we let it affect our health? Do we embrace it? Do we meditate on it? It will affect marriages. It will affect your relationships. It can affect your job. It can affect your whole outlook on life. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, and I'm sure you thought of this scripture as soon as I mentioned what we were going to be talking about today, but there's some powerful kingdom truths here that I want to look at. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. How many of you got that down? You know, if God just left that, we'd be in big trouble. Be anxious for nothing. If he said, just don't do it, but he didn't tell us how. He didn't give us an alternative. He didn't say, well, what do you do instead of that? Or how do we keep from dwelling on that or getting on that slippery slope? We'd be in trouble, but he does. There's kingdom principles that we can do, that we can engage in, that will turn that battle quickly in our lives. He says, be anxious for nothing, but, you've heard this morning several times, but God. He says, now this is what you do. Instead of entertaining that anxiety, instead of entertaining those worries or that fear, He says this, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What is he saying? This is a kingdom principle. He's saying it isn't that it isn't there and that it isn't real. God isn't saying that you create your own reality and just pretend it's not there. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's there. You got a battle on your hands. Now here's what you do to win the battle. He says, instead of dwelling on the things that you're anxious about or that you're worried about, or take that slippery road to depression and a lot of other stuff, the panic attacks, all the things that can follow it, he says, take it to God. Offload it. Amen. Don't carry it. We're not wired to carry those sort of things. Jesus can handle it. There's a big anxiety bin, worry bin in heaven. Amen. It's a big trash compactor up there that takes care of all that stuff. Jesus ain't going to carry it either. But what he'll do is you can offload that onto him. You go to him in prayer. You go to him in supplication. That's more intense prayer. Amen. Until you get the victory, until you get released from it. Until it no longer torments you or bothers you, amen, until there's a knowing that you know that you know in your spirit, God's got this. Nothing may have changed, but something in here did, because you got a hold of God in it. He says, look, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Notice he adds with thanksgiving. That's an expression of faith and gratitude before it manifests in your life, before the victory manifests in your life. That's one of the reasons why we do what we do here. Like in the worship today, we declared victory over certain things, because you got to be thankful. You got to offload that onto God, and you got to be thankful just as if it's happened, because it has. And it will manifest in your life once you reach that point of acknowledging. See, that when faith reaches that critical mass that says, thank you, Lord, for the victory. This is mine, and it's going to manifest in my life, and I am trusting you with it. Amen. I remember hearing a testimony of this woman had a big growth on the side of her neck. She went to a healing service. Big growth on the side of her neck. The man of God prayed for her after the service. She came down front. He laid hands on her, he prayed for her, and she felt the power of God like that, and the pain of that thing, and all that associated with it, she felt it go. But the mass itself stayed there. And so she got up every week and testified how God healed her of this mass on the side of her neck. And finally, some people took her aside and said, I don't know if you looked in the mirror lately, but that's still there. You know, and I could understand how that could be confusing to people. But she knew. She knew she got a touch from God. So she got up. She said, Lord, they told me to look in the mirror, and I see what they're saying, but I know you touched me. So would you remove that so that they know that you touched me? And it was gone. The next service, it was gone. She just kept speaking what she knew God did. Amen? You see, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, she got up and testified and thanked God every meeting throughout that healing service. They usually run a week or two, those meetings, and thank God for healing her. And then ask God just to remove it so that everybody else knew she was healed. Amen. You know, God is awesome. He can do things any way he wants. He said, notice the byproduct in verse 7 of offloading this, taking it to God by prayer and supplication with a heart of thanksgiving for the victory. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Remember, anxiety and fear and worry is an attack of the mind. Amen? It's an attack of the mind. It will affect your mind. It will affect your thinking. It will affect your outlook. And so he's saying, look, if you take this to God and you really give it to God with a thankful heart and by faith you engage this provision that he's made, he said, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, you will have peace in your heart, you'll have peace in your mind that does not make any sense because it's supernatural in nature. It's a kingdom reality, it's a kingdom peace, it's a kingdom joy that you get. And he says that that peace will guard. Literally, that means in the Greek, to be a watcher in advance, to mount a guard as a sentinel or a post at the gate. To hem in and protect and guard with a garrison. God says, this is what I'll do. He says, if you through prayer and supplication with a thankful heart for the victory by faith enter into this provision and you give me those worries, you give me those anxieties, you give me those fears, name them. Give them to God. Amen. He said, I'm going to set a military guard around your heart, and it's the peace of God is going to be so strong that nothing can penetrate it. And it will include your mind as well. Guard your hearts and mind. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. Supernatural intervention. He says, finally, brethren. You see, how many of you ever got something in God and the devil challenges it? Amen. You know God's speaking something. You know God something did. Then all of a sudden, hath God said? Did God really say that? Is that really his promise to you? Well, maybe that's for everybody else, but how do you know it's for you? Has God ever given you something, a promise something, that you got the victory over something, and all of a sudden you begin to waver? Amen. I always say watch out for the dragon tail. Amen. He'll try to get you on the way by. You might have victory over the dragon. All of a sudden, there's one last shot. He tries to take you down with. You got to watch out for the backlash. Amen. I'm giving you some good stuff here, so you don't fall. Amen. Just when you think you're all right, you're not all right. I'm just saying. Problem's not on God's part. Did you get challenged when you got saved? Did you get challenged when you got filled with the Holy Ghost? Did you get challenged as soon as you made a wholehearted commitment to God? All hell will come against you. So he says, look, he said, if you give this to me, if you come to me with it, I'll guard your heart supernaturally. I'll set a guard around your heart, and this is how you keep it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. He goes, now that I've renewed your mind, cleared out the clutter, got rid of the anxiety, got rid of the worries, amen, now I want you to refocus. And I don't want you to go back and take those things back into your spirit. Take it back into your mind. I want you to think about other things. You show me one negative thing in that list. It's not there. God says, I'm going to reprogram. I want to reprogram this hard drive. Amen. I'm going to write some new software in there. And in order to do that, you got to cooperate with the plan. You got to think on these things. Change your focus. Change my focus. Amen. And on the bigness of God. On the awesome power of the atonement. On the freedom that we have in Him. Amen. See, God gives us some practical steps that we can do to maintain the victory once we get it. He tells us how to get the victory. Then He tells us how to walk in that victory and maintain the victory. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry. Be anxious for nothing, and don't worry. You know, we're seeing a pattern here. See, Jesus knows how that messes up a life. how that torments people. So he says, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Now, some agencies may not think you are, but God says you are more valuable than animals. Look, he says, he's drawing a comparison to help us understand that he's got this. He says, don't worry about, what do most people spend their time worrying about? Their life. My dad used to say, I don't know if he read it somewhere or if he just said this. I don't know. I can't really verify it. But he said that 90% of the stuff that you worry about never happens. And the other 10's going to anyway, so why worry about it? It's not a scripture, but it's a neat principle. Amen? And so God's telling us here, Jesus said, look, this is one of his profound messages that he's giving on the mount here, Sermon on the Mount. Says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and your body more than raiment? Look at nature, he says, look at the birds, look at how I take care of them. I'll take care of you. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? Some translations said it won't add any time to your life. Some say it won't make you any taller. I am living proof, because I shouldn't fit in this sanctuary now. If there was something productive or there was some sort of growth that took place by worrying or being anxious. Sometimes you get under a lot of pressure and it takes a while to offload that stuff. Man, I don't know about you, but what he's saying here, the point that he's making, he said, there's nothing redemptive in it. There's nothing productive about worrying or being anxious. He said, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and neither toil nor spin. God's saying, look around you, see the majesty and the glory of God. Amen. Even in creation, the power of God, the glory of God. Why are you worried about you? He says, come to me with this. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And here's really a key right here. O you of little faith. Faith is what releases the provision of God in our life. It connects us with the supernatural. It connects us with a peace that surpasses understanding. It's another realm that we live in. God's going to show us in just a minute here in his word. God's offering us to come up higher into another realm of living. He wouldn't do it if it wasn't available. Amen? He's made full provision to enter into it. Verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying. You know, many times we give power to our worry because that's all we talk about. We empower our anxiety. We empower our fear. We empower our worry because every time we see somebody, we start talking about what we're anxious about and what we're fearful about. How many of you know it's a lot easier to go tell everybody else about it than just spend time with God until he takes it? Amen? It's easier on the flesh just to tell everybody else you see. You see, it will kill the flesh to get on your face before God and say, God, I'm not going to anybody else. I'm going to get victory from you. I'm coming into your presence. You're the only one that can do something about this. And I'm going to stay here with a heart of thanksgiving for the victory that you have already won. And I'm going to enter into that by faith because you said I could. We got to watch what we say. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, the Bible says. We can speak life to something, or we can speak death to it. And that goes for people, as far as that goes. He says, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, in that case it would have been unbelievers. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. So then he tells us, there's the but what do you do? We've just got a whole list of what not to do. Amen, which is real easy to do. It's human nature to do all those things that he just told us not to do. It will be your default. It will be the thing that you and I most naturally flow out of our mouth is run to other people. And how am I going to do this? And how are we going to get? And it's just the nature of the beast. Amen. All the things God says. First of all, he says, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. And so he tells us what to do instead. Now here, there's another but. He tells us how to do it. He says, instead of doing that, worrying for all those things that pertain to life, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God. That's that realm I was talking about. Kingdom means his rule, his reign, his realm. It's the establishing of his government in our life. Amen. That supersedes every other government, supersedes every other realm. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many realms, many abodes. God's asking us to come up higher, where worry don't exist, where anxiety doesn't destroy lives, where depression can't get an inroad. Amen. God's saying this is available if you just do it the way I say. You got 100% chance of victory if you do it the way God says. How do you like those odds? Amen? If we do what God says, you get 100% chance for victory. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, many times when preachers begin to teach on this particular text, they don't really emphasize his righteousness. They emphasize the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God should be emphasized. But we cannot forget and his righteousness. I'll tell you right now, I will never have victory in my life if we don't understand the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the righteousness aspect, because that's what breaks the leverage of the enemy and his lies over your life and over mine. Because you start moving in something in God, you start getting victory, and he's an accuser, and he's a liar, and he's a thief, and he's going to try to steal that. So he's going to go back, and he's going to try to remind you. Remember, this is the battleground. That's why Jesus mentions it so much, and the Word of God deals with it so much. He's going to tell you every mistake you ever made, or why you're not worthy to receive this anxiety-free life, or this stress-free life, or this worry-free life, and he's going to tell you why you're not worthy. And he's going to show you all the things that are wrong and all the things that have happened, and he's going to parade your past in front of you and the fears of your future. He's going to try to get you to go there. But you see, if you understand the kingdom of God, it's another realm of living. It's his government in your life. It's his rule, his reign, his realm. He has the final say. The Bible says his kingdom rules over all other kingdoms. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. Amen? He rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. Well, when you understand that when you give your heart to Jesus, when you bow your knee to him, and you say, God, I accept and receive your sacrifice in my place. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I need you. And the grace of God fills your heart. And you confess that sin. You repent from that sin. You receive him as your Savior. You become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You're never going to get any more righteous. It's not based on your works. It's based on his works. It's not based on what you've done in the past or what you're going to do in the future or what you're doing right now. It's based on his perfect righteousness. He filled the righteous demands of the law. Amen. Nailing it to the cross. He got victory over sin. He got victory over the flesh. He got victory over the devil. This is why he's saying you need to press in and understand my righteousness and you're standing in my righteousness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, he says, he who knew no sin. became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. He who knew no sin, who did no sin, who couldn't sin, amen, became sin offering and sin for us, who knew no righteousness, who could do no righteousness, and there was no righteousness in us. Amen. What a divine exchange. So when you are fighting the lies of the enemy, when you are fighting the accuser, when he's reminding you of all this, just remind him, you're not trusting in your works. I'm not trusting in my goodness. I'm not trusting in my sacrifice. I'm not trusting in my worthiness. I live in the kingdom of God where his righteousness prevails, and that's what I'm trusting in. Otherwise, we'll fall every time because we know what we are apart from God. Sometimes we've got a worse opinion than the devil does. We don't even need him to drag us through the mud. Amen? He said, instead of worrying, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things that would want to occupy all your time, all your energy, all your thinking, all your concern, all these other things, he said, they'll be added unto you. I love it how God simplifies things. Amen. He could have said, well, you worry and get anxious about all that and get all that taken away, care of, and then I'll give you the kingdom. God help us. No, he said, the kingdom of God is within you, and that's what's going to get you the victory. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. We're operating in another realm, in another kingdom. We just got to understand it and know it. We got to make decisions based on it. We receive things or don't receive things based on it. Amen? It makes a difference in the quality of life we have. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, God spoke to me one time, you know, worrying about tomorrow robs you of today's joy. You can't have the peace and joy of today if you're anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow's coming. We'll have what we need to deal with tomorrow. Tomorrow. We don't have to deal with tomorrow today. Amen. We got enough stuff to deal with today. Luke chapter 10, there's a good picture of this, verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it happened as they went and they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted. That's part of the definition, by the way, of anxiety and worry. Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, serving isn't always wrong, and it isn't always a distraction. It just was in this, because later in Gospel of John you see Martha serving, and that's what she's supposed to be doing. See, what I've found that's critical in following God is doing the right thing at the right time. Don't be serving when we're supposed to be waiting, and don't be waiting when you should be serving. Amen. There's a time, there's a right time to be doing things. God gave me a revelation. I preached on it many, many years ago about the Bethany household. Lazarus was their brother. He's the one that died, and Jesus raised from the dead. You remember that? And God told me about this as a ministry principle. Really, if you look at that whole household, you got the whole package. But you got Mary, who's sitting at Jesus' feet, waiting on God, receiving firsthand from Jesus. You got Martha, who is the aspect of the serving nature of the family. You got Lazarus, who was full of resurrection power. Amen. We got all on board. You got the goods. Amen. You got something. you got something on the inside so you can serve with it. Amen? And then that what you're serving with is full of resurrection power. It's not anyone. It's not that anyone is bad. It's doing the right thing at the right time. Amen? And so Martha was serving here, and you can tell that that she was distracted by how this all played out. It says she was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care?" Oh, have you ever heard that? You ever prayed that in your circumstance, in your situation? God, don't you care? Well, he does. I'm going to show you. He does. Amen. We've all said it. We've all asked it. We've all wondered. Remember, liars don't make it into the kingdom. All right? I won't ask you to raise your hands, but we've all been there where we think. You ever notice that God doesn't operate on Eastern Standard Time? And he doesn't operate on our timing? It's a good thing. I would have really messed up my life, I think, if he operated on my time. See, he operates on kingdom time. He inhabits eternity. He's not in a hurry. He's going to be around a while. He's been around a while. My cousin said one of his kids asked him, you know, how old God was. You know, what's he look like? You know, if he's been around that long, what's he look like? He goes, well, he doesn't look his age. I thought that was a good answer. He doesn't look his age. The guy inhabits, you know, God inhabits eternity. He's eternal. He always was, and he always will be, and he always is. God's not in a hurry. Lord, do you not care? Well, I got good news for you. He does. Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know, we wouldn't think we would do anything like that with Jesus in the house. You know what I mean? We think we're above that, but he is in the house all the time. Amen? Yet we do this. Lord, it's not fair. She's just sitting at your feet listening to you. Maybe I want to sit at your feet and listen to you. And I'm over here, sir. Jesus never said she couldn't. He never asked her to get anything. She was probably operating in the custom of her day and trying to be hospitable and prepare something, maybe a meal for them. But Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, and I believe this was a gentle, this wasn't a blasting rebuke. I think he just whispered her name. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. It wasn't just the serving. He was going deeper. Many things. That was kind of her predisposition to worry. God's going for the root. You're troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part. I think literally in the Greek it means the best dish, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus said, Mary's doing just what she's supposed to be doing. She's sitting at my feet, where the peace of God will rule and reign in her heart, where worry and anxiety have to go, where depression has to flee, where the cares of this world and the things that life throw at you can't stay, can't live there. She's in my presence. It's a principle in God. That's what he's saying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, go to him with thanksgiving. Don't worry. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And here we see it played out where Mary is abiding in his presence, receiving what she needs to receive. One thing is needed. Just one. Don't have to have the planets line up. Don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. Don't have to try to figure out some big formula. How's this going to happen? One thing's needed. Come into my presence and let's talk. Let's reason together. Let me meet you where you're hurting. Let me meet you where your fears and anxieties and your worries live. Let me take those from you and let me give you my peace. Give you my joy. In 1 Peter, in closing, chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, he says, "Therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting some of your care upon him." Oh. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. It's not rocket science. And it's available. Amen. This is the heart of God for you this morning. We just got to humble ourselves before God. In other words, we've got to look to him through prayer, through supplication. Honor him, honor his word. Then he says, cast. That word cast means to, literally it means to throw upon. Just throw your cares on him. Off your shoulders, onto him. He said, cast your cares. He didn't just say, gently give them to me. Or just lay them down, my child. No, he's saying, no, get rid of that. Heave them things as far as you can heave them. It's like, you know, these new fishing rods, you know, they got these bait casters now. Man, you can throw, you got the right lure on, you can throw that thing almost across a small lake. And what you're doing, you're casting. Amen? This is the connotation that he has here. Cast. It goes all the way to heaven, that cast. Amen? Better than any bait caster. Better than any open-faced wheel. Real, amen? It will reach heaven. He said, cast your cares on me. And I'm not going to give you any big theological reason. He said, just because I care about you. Because I love you. Because I can handle them. And because I want you free. Amen? Let's stand together this morning. The worship team come at this time. I believe the Lord began something in worship this morning about freedom. And there was a celebratory atmosphere because God is still in the setting free business. Amen. And I believe the reason God gave me this message is it's almost like a second part of what happened in our worship, where we get into nitty-gritty everyday life and see what that freedom looks like and some of the things that we battle through to get to that freedom. And so I want to give an opportunity as the worship team is getting ready to just offload, to cast our cares on him. Now, you know what your cares are. Those are personal things. And I recommend you don't give power to them by speaking them to everybody else, but you take it to God. Now, I'm not saying there's safety in a multitude of counselors. I'm not saying you can't talk to anybody about anything. That's not what I'm saying. I recommend talking to your spouse. I recommend talking to people that you trust, mature people of faith, to have them agree with you. I'm not talking about being an island in and of yourself. Amen. But we can say too much to too many people and empower the very thing that we're trying to get rid of, that we don't want in our life. I hope you see God's heart this morning.